still impressed.
Got it now? Okay, all right. As Bob brought out just a minute ago, it's not so much about his birth, but about his death.
Amen.
And it's one of those things that we look at and should look at far more importantly, because it is because of his death that we have the opportunity for eternal life. It's because of the debt he paid for us. And so we need to look at it from that standpoint. Yeah, it's great to come together and think about his birth and everything like that, and I'm not going to denounce that at all, because, you know, it's fine for people to remember that Jesus was born and how he was born and that it was a miracle. And it's something we shouldn't do just one time a year, but we should remember it all year. And we come together every Sunday morning to remember his death, his burial, his resurrection, his sacrifice for us. And so we should remember those things. But I want you to understand that there was a reason that Jesus came to this earth. Bob mentioned it, but I'm going to expound upon it. Okay? There was a reason that Jesus came to this earth. And I want to start over here in the Old Testament. Now, I had a contract lawyer one time explain to me about the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament was a contract in his mind. And he said that contract had to be fully fulfilled before there could have been a new contract. And I agree with that 100% what he said. The old law had to be fulfilled. The Old Testament had to be fulfilled before there could be a New Testament. And so I want to start off by looking at that old law. The old law taught us. Remember, it was our schoolmaster. Our schoolmaster. It taught us what sin is. Because we would not have known what it was, except the law teaches us that. The law teaches us exactly what sin is. Now that's very important. And I've told you all this before, because it's three things that the law teaches us. It teaches us what sin is. We would not have known it had not the law been there to teach it to us. Secondly, the law taught us that all of us have sinned. I had a person tell me one time, said, "Oh, you know, I don't sin anymore." I said, "Well, I hadn't sinned in the last 30 minutes. I don't know about anything past that. But I can promise you, if you read that verse that I have up on the board, and you fully understand that verse." Now, I was in a class at Harding University where they were teaching the book of Romans, and I didn't fully understand that verse until I read it in that class. This is a definition for sin. Most people don't look at it that way. That's what this is. It's a definition for sin, because if you look at it, it says this: all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Folks, when you fall short of God's glory, you transgress. And when I read that in that class, and I sat there and I started thinking about it, and I realized this is God's glory. This is me. How short do I fall? When I fall short of God's glory, I transgress. All of us have sinned. And so this morning, for example, like I've told you before, I don't like to get up in the mornings. I like to get up about 1-ish in the afternoon. Yeah, some of you are going, oh, you're crazy. Yeah, my brother-in-law, he gets up about 3 or 4. Yeah, in the morning. Yeah, no. Not me. I like to sleep in. I like to sleep in. I like those blankets, especially tomorrow. It's going to be cold. And I like to snuggle in those blankets. Well, I want you to know that I fall short of God's glory quite often. And a lot of times it's in the mornings because I don't want to get up. But realize this, we all fall short of God's glory. And so it's real simple. Once I truly learned that verse and understood that verse, it's real simple for me never to condemn anyone else. Because I fall short too. And when I tell you, when you point your finger at somebody, you got 3 fingers pointing back at you, I guarantee you that's exactly the way it is with me. Because I realize how far short I am of God's glory. Well, the Old Testament taught us that. But here's one thing that the Old Testament taught us that was probably more important than anything else. And that's this. In order for us to get back on the good side of God, in order for us to overcome our sins, we must have a redeemer. Do not think at any point that we could do this by ourselves. The old law taught us what sin is. The old law taught us that all of us sin. And thirdly, the old law teaches us that we've got to have a redeemer. In Numbers 5:8, it says this, "But if the person has no redeemer to whom restitution may be made for the wrong, the restitution which is made for the wrong must go to the Lord." Only through Him do we have a redeemer. Only through Him do we have restitution being paid. Only through Jesus' sacrifice do we have that restitution paid. And so we must realize wholeheartedly that we have to have a redeemer. There are a lot of people out there in the world today that don't believe that, that don't think that, because they don't have a redeemer. They don't believe that they have to be baptized. They don't believe that they have to believe in Jesus Christ. They can just push it aside and not believe in those things and not follow those things. But the truth of the matter is, if they don't have a redeemer, then they themselves have to pay their own restitution. And remember what that restitution is. It is this. The wages of sin is death. Now, I've told you this, that there are 3 types of death that are spoken of in the Bible. One is physical. This body wears out, this body dies. We don't live in this body forever. Thank goodness for that. I think I told y'all before, I told somebody one time that I have the body of an 18-year-old, and he said, you better give it back because you're getting it out of shape. That's exactly right. This body can't do what it used to do when I was 20. You're talking about 25 years ago? I can remember 25 years ago. Barely. But realize, death comes to all of us. Physical death. But the Bible also talks about spiritual death. Spiritual death is the separation between us and God when sin enters into our life. And I want you to know something, that Jesus had to pay that spiritual death debt. He does that when He's on the cross. Spiritual death is the separation between us and God. What did he say when he was on the cross? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? When he took the sins of mankind upon himself, God had to turn away from him. He paid our spiritual death while he was on the cross. And then the last one is eternal death. None of us want that. Because eternal death is eternal punishment forever. That is the three types of death. And sin brings about all three types. So the wages of sin is death. And if we do not have a redeemer, if we do not have somebody that pays our debt for us, then what we have is a debt that we have to pay. And that's where the wages of sin fall in. Physical, spiritual, and eternal death. Something none of us want to be a part of. Now, remember, God's goal. I will repeat this to you multiple times. So just get ready. Memorize this verse, 2 Peter 3:9. That's a great verse to memorize. It's one that I will quote again and again and again. And the reason I will quote it is because this is what God wants for you. And this is also why when I pray, I can always pray, let your will be done, not mine. Because His will is that none should perish. His will is that I be with Him in eternity. His will is that you be with Him in eternity. And I know there are people that won't be there. Not because God chose, but because they chose. It's always their choice, not God choosing to throw them into hell. God does not wish for any to perish, but all men everywhere to come to repentance. So, why exactly did Jesus come to earth? Why was He born of a virgin? Why was He laid in a manger? Why did all those things occur during His lifetime? Why was He crucified on the cross? These are the answers that we should be looking for during this time of year. Why did Jesus have to come to this earth? Let's start off in Matthew 5:17. Jesus did not come to destroy the law, but He came to fulfill the law. Remember what I said? In a contract, you have to fulfill all the obligations of the former contract before you can have a new contract. That's the same way with this. The old law had to be fulfilled before the new law could take place. And that is why Jesus says, I did not come to abolish the old law, but rather I came to fulfill the old law. By fulfilling the old law, we then are no longer obligated under the old law, because it has been fulfilled. And if we put on Jesus Christ in baptism, then guess what? We are not under the law of sin and death, but we are under the new law of grace and forgiveness. That's where we want to be. But again, you can still reject that. Again, you can still go back and be part of the old law if you desire to be so. Because you can reject Jesus Christ. Then again, if you do not have that Redeemer, then you're responsible for paying your own debt. That's where that comes in. Jesus did not come to this earth to destroy the old law, but to fulfill the old law. Luke 19:10 tells us this. Jesus came to this earth to seek and save the lost. No better point is that than what he told his disciples, his apostles, before he left. Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That he who believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. What does that mean? Go seek and save the lost. Jesus' desire, God's desire, is that no one should perish. So therefore, seek and save those which are lost. Do not think no one is lost. There are people in our community that are lost. There are some people right here who have not yet decided to follow Christ. Make that decision. Jesus wanted to seek and save the lost. Folks, that's our job now. Seek and save the lost. Look at this also. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 5. Jesus came to redeem those who were under the old law. Now remember what the old law did. The old law taught us what sin was, taught us that all of us have fallen short, taught us that we have to have a redeemer. That's what the old law does. But what the old law could not do is save us. We could not be forgiven under the old law. Read Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 tells us very plainly that the law could not save, that the blood of goats and bulls could not take away our sin. Only that which was perfect, when that sacrifice was given, could save. The old law could not do it. The old law only could condemn us of our shortcomings, of our sins. Forgiveness could not be given. But yet, the sins of the past were just brought forward year after year after year, again from Hebrews 10, until that which is perfect came and paid our debt. So Jesus came to redeem the lost who were under the old law. Colossians 2:14 says this, Jesus came to cancel the certificate of debt. Thank you, Lord. I do not have to pay for my sins. If I did, I would be under the old law and I would be under the situation of the three types of death: physical, spiritual, and eternal. Those things would exist today in me if Jesus did not cancel that debt. He paid the debt when no one else could. Why? Because he was the only one without sin. I could not pay that debt because I had debt that deserved to be paid. Moses could not pay that debt. He had debt deserved to be paid. David could not pay that debt. None of the apostles could pay that debt. John the Baptist could not pay that debt, because he had sin that needed to be paid. Only one without sin could pay that debt. I try to explain this to many people many, many times, and a lot of people get confused about this, and I hope that you're not. But realize, if you bought a house and did not have the money to pay for the house, you go to the bank and get the loan, right? Well, what if somebody walked up and gave you the cash to pay for the house? Your debt would be paid and paid in full. The problem is that a lot of people don't take advantage of that debt that can be paid, because Jesus paid it for us. And all we have to do is put it on. And once we put it on in baptism, that debt is paid. Now, Romans 6:23, notice this. Jesus came to this earth to bring us eternal life. We could not have it without Him paying our debt. Jesus came here to pay our debt, to take our sins upon Himself, to do everything under the law, to cancel the law of sin and death, so that we could be with them in eternity. What a wonderful thing that is. Jesus came to bring us eternal life. Eternal life, spiritual life, physical life. Jesus came to bring us life. Without Him, all we have is death. Now here's the great, great question. Why did Jesus come? Why did Jesus come? I gave you several reasons. Seek and save the lost. Pay our debt for sin. Fulfill the old law. But there's one main reason Jesus came. Jesus came because God loves you. Bob said, put your name on there. Folks, He came because of me. He came because of you. Remember the parable of the 90 and 9 sheep? One was lost. The sheep herder left the 90 and 9 and went and found the one, and brought the one back. If you go all the way back to the Garden of Eden, and Adam and Eve hadn't eaten that fruit, but one person did. Maybe centuries later, after Adam and Eve had died, one person ate of that fruit. Would Jesus have come for that one person? Left the 90 and 9 to went to find the one. Folks, the reason Jesus came to this earth is because God so loved you. All of us have sinned. All of us have fallen short. Eternal life only comes through Him because He paid our debt. Therefore, we must realize in this time of Christmas when everybody's celebrating Jesus' birth, we must realize something. Jesus came to this earth for you. Be thankful to God that He so loved you, that He wanted you with Him. If you have not put on Jesus in baptism, I want you to understand that you don't have that grace yet. You don't have that opportunity of eternal life. Is it not time to make that decision? Is it not time to do it? Put Jesus Christ on in baptism. And as you go out in the world, those of us who have already put Jesus on in baptism, realize that Jesus came to this earth to seek and save the lost. And He commanded us to do so as well. Seek and save those who are out in the world today. If you have a need this morning, a need for our prayers, or if you have a need for baptism, we want to give you the opportunity to come while together we stand and sing.